Let's do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 51. It's January 30, 2015. Today we go on a trip to northeastern Myanmar in Kachin State. Kachin State? What in the world is he talking about? You know, every once in a while in my life, a people group or something comes along and just kind of grabs the heart. You know, this happens to you too. Call it passion, call it whatever you want. I'm not sure that what I'm about to tell you is totally in the category as what I've had before with Romania and North Korea. And those of you who have followed this ministry know that those have been very real things to me. Nevertheless, Kachin is coming on strong. Last week, I reported to you, it was about 10 days ago, reported to you the slaughter of two teachers in that part of the world by the Burmese army. For reasons we'll get into, you'll understand a whole lot more in a while. As I read that story and as I've been hearing about that place off and on for the last few weeks, I decided it was time for me to check out the place just a little bit more. Now, you people who, or somebody who might be a fighter in the trenches of this war that's going on, I mean literal trenches or otherwise, perhaps prayer trenches, you're going to find my report on Kachin State anywhere from mildly to wildly inaccurate and unrepresentative of the real situation on the ground there. I've never been to Kachin State, never been to Myanmar. In fact, I've never been to any of the surrounding countries of Southeast Asia. Closest I've ever got was South Korea. Never witnessed the atrocities of the fighting men of Burma, Myanmar, as those two names will be used interchangeably. I've never experienced anything like the lifestyle of the mountain people who are there in Kachin, struggling for their existence as a people. Never. I'm simply an observer from afar, and I apologize up front for my dependence on very meager and probably or possibly inadequate sources of information like Wikipedia and other things on the internet. I also know that there are some folks listening to me, we'll call them the theological types, and I'll put myself into that because I've tended to be a surface religionist myself at times. You're going to be critical of the whole premise of persecution in Kachin, Christian persecution, because as I will show you later on, some of what happens, if not a lot, in northeast Burma is political in nature, has seemingly nothing to do with Christ and the church. These people will suggest that many of the people dying there were Christians, but only in name. Okay. Well, I imagine some of that is true. And I also imagine your own family has people like that. Maybe your church, your community, definitely your nation, America. We've got people like that here. But when the blood begins to spatter on the sidewalks of your town, it'll be difficult for you to ignore the reality of the trauma that is occurring. Even if 9 out of 10 of the people that you see falling in front of you are not your spiritual brothers, I'm certain you'll not be able to look on the scene without terror filling your heart as you rush to find a way to stop the bloodbath and to save your family and your neighbors, the rest of them. You say, where are you going with this? I'm saying things are coming here too one of these days. Why not? And we won't be picking and choosing who should die. I ask that you view Kachin State through that lens, the lens of neighbor loving. You know, let's love our neighbor. the lens of a person who wants to avoid a massacre in an area. If it was your neighborhood, wouldn't you want to? A person who wants to avoid even personal tragedy, as though it were your own person affected. Let God be the judge of who knows him and who doesn't know him. Kachin State is a horrific tragedy, no matter how you look at it, and it needs some Christian concern, and it needs it today, and it needs it right now. And I beg you to listen, to get to know these people just a little bit better through my research, and you can do it yourself. It's all out there for you to look up yourself. Kachin, spelled K-A-C-H-I-N, and if I'm pronouncing it wrong, that just goes to show what I said at the beginning, that I'm a little bit ignorant about this place, except my heart's saying you got to do something here. I found in the research a mystery, a lot of history, and an opportunity for God's people to react. Sounds like a sermon outline. I didn't mean it to be. But the mystery is, well, I suppose there's many unsolved mysteries about the Kachin people. But the one that troubles me the most at this writing is, why am I just now hearing about these people? Where have I been all this time when their history was developing? I've been working with the persecuted church in one way or another, off and on, we'll say, for 30 years. These are largely a Christian people. They are under persecution. Why didn't I know about them until now? Why has the media, by and large, ignored the slaughter here and in places like Nigeria and Kenya and the Philippines? Did you know that people are being killed in all of these places? Does this have something to do with American interests not being served by helping folks that live up in the hills of some foreign country somewhere? No oil wells up in Kachin. No serious political ties to Kachin State. Have you heard of these people? Have you? Let me share with you the little bit of information that I was able to glean from the ever-present internet. It's all I have. I won't be traveling there, probably. But I have to find out about these people. This is the best I can do. Perhaps some of you can share more information as you know about it, or give me a lead as to where I can start looking for better information. But let's do some history. The Kachin people. Well, they go by quite a few different names. I probably can't pronounce any of them properly, any more than I did the first one. They're called the Jingpo, the Singpo, the Jingpa, and a whole lot more. They live in at least three border nations, mainly in northeastern Burma. And again, I will be using Burma and Myanmar interchangeably. Myanmar is the new name for Burma, as most of us grew up with. Most of us, I don't know who's listening. A lot of us old folks got used to the word Burma. They're also in neighboring China and India. My focus is going to be the ones who live in Myanmar, the 1 million of them. At least, we're going to just roughly round it to 1 million Kachin that live in Myanmar. Only about 150,000 in China. Who are these people? The various tribal groups that make up the Kachin people do have some clear characteristics. Someone said they're fiercely independent. They have disciplined fighting skills. They have a complex clan interrelation system. And they have an embrace of Christianity. Whoa. Is that a cultural thing only? You know, when things like that develop in a culture, sometimes individuals are just that because of the culture. We have to admit to that. But, oh, no, not all of them. Not from what I've heard. Some really true, godly people up in those hills. Craftsmanship is another thing. Herbal healing. Jungle survival skills. What a folk. But not everybody who lives in Kachin State, which is the northeasternmost state of Burma, not all of them are Kachin. The territory is home also to Thai people from Thailand, from Lao people from, Laos. The Lisus are there, the Rawangs, the Nagas. And the largest ethnic group in Burma, the Burmans themselves, are there in small amounts. But the most amount is the Kachin people. Some want to call all these residents of the state Kachin, but the Kachin people themselves don't like that. They don't favor such a designation. And that's where Jingpa comes into play. Jingpa. Again, forgive me for pronunciation. Jingpa Wunpang means all the residents of the state, but if you just use Jingpa alone, you're talking about the Kachin people alone. Are you confused yet? Well, there's more. In Kachin state, people have found two different ways to categorize the various groups. In one form, you take all the groups that have overlapping territories and similar skills, and you call them a single people. In another way of categorizing, you go by language only. Very complex. But the Jingpa, the Kachin people, they know who they are, regardless of the efforts of outsiders to tell them. So we don't really have to worry about that, but I thought you'd need to know when you see different words, you're not necessarily knowing what you're seeing just by a word. Thing is, most of these tribes come from the same basic background. Despite all the posturing and self-identifying of the different groups, we're just going to leave it right there. Generally speaking, there's this group of people who dwell in Kachin state with a similar language, similar ways, and similar religion. We're going to call them Kachins for the rest of this report. Every once in a while I might slip in a Jingpo, you'd be ready. The Kachin people can be traced back for many hundreds of years. They lived on the Tibetan plateau, maybe in Mongolia before that, and gradually worked their way south to their present location, which is China's province of Yunnan and Burma, those two in particular. There's some folks in India also. The Burmese government, well, you're fast-forwarding quite a bit here, way forward. The Burmese government, before the present one, ceded to a number of people, including the Kachin, full autonomy in a special agreement in 1947. We'll talk about it later. The state of Kachin was formed in 1948. Now, when Burma became independent of Great Britain, a lot of things that had been kind of under the surface, tribal conflicts of various natures, suddenly they came to the surface. One serious problem was the Burman government at that time and its attitude toward the Kachin people. Later, when that Burman government declared Buddhism to be the national religion of the nation, this is 1961, there was an uprising of the Kachins. It had already really been in progress, but it escalated at that time. Well, back in those years, the Kachin Independence Organization, with a military arm, the Kachin Independence Army, began to form alliances with other independence groups, because they weren't the only group that had a problem like this through the years. But gradually, the new government of Burma, with its superior army, was able to bring the KIO to a ceasefire. That was in 1994. I'm going to go back over this history later. That's not the whole story, of course. So the KIA, the Kachin Independence Army, laid down its weapons, basically, in 1994. But the Burmese army didn't, essentially. They kept on strengthening their military positions. And to this day, causing untold pain and suffering to the residents of Kachin State and other places. Civil war continues on and off. Serious fighting erupted in 2011, continued into the next year. 5,500 people displaced. And they showed up at Burmese-controlled camps that year. Some people had to leave the country altogether and never returned. But some refugees, as is the case with the refugee North Koreans, same situation, went over into China, and China said, no, you can't stay. You go back to your home. Even though the fighting had continued, and legally, according to international rules, they were allowed to do this. They were allowed to go to China, and China was supposed to take them in. But China has a problem with, for some reason, taking in refugees. As of October 2012, there's 100,000 of these IDPs taking shelter in various camps across the state. These are the refugees. Perhaps 1,000 died in the conflict. China enters this picture in another way, but you know, I've just run out of time, as I seem to do regularly. We're going to continue with this next time around. I'm so glad you could be here with this. I hope that you'll begin to pray for the Kachin people. This is just the secular history I'm giving you, but I'm going to give you their salvation history. It's an exciting thing, what God did among these people, and that's why they turned to Christ. You're going to see how God has been working in there, calling out a people for himself, like he does all over the world, and with the troubles that come along with that, as all over the world too. So join me, will you? And don't forget what we started out with, Galatians 6:10. Let's do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. God bless. We'll talk again later.